If you are able to take those 3 days off, come to the Power and Love School, I think you'll really benefit and enjoy it. It's getting more and more full. I think there are over 1,300 registered already, for which is pretty remarkable. It's going to be really good. So, hey, we have one of our superstar friends here with us today that I really, he's an author, communicator, coach, pastor, father, grandfather, friend. He is one of these folks that inspires people, that really has, you know, one of those folks that has that mind of Christ that we all are wanting, and so in love with Jesus that everywhere he goes, there's this, you catch this devotion to the Lord in him. And he's a member of our board of Awake Church, and we get to see him once a year. And so some of you have not been here when he was here previously, so I want to turn loose our friend and welcome Steve Witt up. So let's clap and honor him as he comes up. I really felt that today there's going to be some real clarity for your lives that is going to come through Steve. So, Lord, we just open up our hearts right now as he speaks, as he shares, that he has been given something from you to help us. So, Lord, I'm asking for your clarity. I'm asking for hope to arise, for joy, for beauty. Lord, that you would align us, align our thoughts, our thinking, and our path ahead of us, even today as he shares, in Jesus' name.
Boy, Todd's coming to Winston-Salem. That's amazing. You need to go to this thing. It will turn you inside out. It will transform you. There's something about the power of the anointing on certain people that not only inform you, like I was talking about yesterday, and they don't just demonstrate it. Todd definitely demonstrates the power of God. But when you get activated under the anointing, your life's changed. You can't, you're totally messed up the rest of your life. It's you're going to be just doing crazy things for God. You're going to feel and sense and see things you never saw before. You know, during the worship here a few minutes ago, just sensing the move of the Spirit, and I want to be sensitive to that. If we could just wait, you don't need to stand up, just wait in the presence of the Lord right now. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit. He's already here. It's one of those neat conundrums about spiritual things, is you invite the one who's already here. But basically, by invitation, we're saying, we need more of you, Holy Spirit. We need more of you. And so right now, just kind of maybe where you're sitting, hold your hands out, palms up, like you're ready to receive, because you are. And we just say, Holy Spirit, just come right now in the midst of this room. There's so much you want to do. I pray, Lord, you compress in this short time we have right now, aggravating truths that would go like seeds deep in the heart of every person here right now to create change, Lord, to dislodge soil of wrong thinking that might be in each one of our hearts, and to produce fruit, Lord. I just ask, Lord, for the power of the Spirit right now to just come into this room, Holy Spirit, and just begin to bring fruitfulness in our lives in so many areas that we will be borderline giddy, Lord, because of the goodness of God. Just come right now, especially those that are struggling in so many areas with either addiction or lack in their lives. I pray, Lord, for just a move of hope to come upon them right now, especially people who have had financial ruin of some sort or deep disappointment financially. We speak into that right now in the name of Jesus. We declare, Lord, a new day. This is a new day. This is new time right now, Lord. We bless this time in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, let's tell you a little bit about myself. Matt already did, but I grew up in a Christian home. My mother was a believer, a follower of Jesus. My father, not so much. He was a union leader, and he was off doing his thing, making himself a great life. But my mother was very consistent. That's why I believe in ritual so much. She took us to church. I get that the church is not a building and you don't go to the church, you are to the church. But in American culture, we know what we say when we say go to the church. And so when you come to church like this on Sunday morning, you're actually engaging in a 2,000-year ritual. a 2,000-year ritual that actually yields corporate anointing. What that means is that when you come together in a group like this, there's a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit became associated with anointing a couple thousand years ago. And anointing is actually a secular term. We think it's a religious term. It's not. It was a secular term. It comes from thousands of years ago. And what happened was shepherds that were raising sheep, and you've probably heard sermons about this, and shepherds that were raising sheep, they noticed one of the greatest enemies of sheep in ancient time was actually the ticks or the lice that would get into their wool. And what would happen is those lice would get into the wool of sheep, and they would navigate their way through the forest of wool up to the neck, and their goal was to get to the ears. I have no idea why they wanted to go to the ears. Maybe someone here could tell me that later on, but get up to the ears, and if they get into the ears of the sheep, they could kill the sheep and devour the sheep. And so this was a huge frustration, the shepherds in ancient times. So what they started doing, somebody somewhere discovered this idea that if you poured oil on the head of the sheep, the oil would go down the head into the beard of the sheep and down the ears of the sheep, and the lice could not navigate the oily skin, the road to their eventual destination of the ears, you know. Anyway, about 2 months ago, I was meditating on this. I just ran across it. I'd heard it before. I'm at that age now where I'm like a goldfish. I can hear things over and over again and think it's brand new. And so it just came over and over and over again. And it's like, oh, wow, that's really amazing, you know. And it dawned on me. I just thought, Lord, there's something really important about our ears. Something important about our hearing and what we hear. And we may have everything well protected around us, but if something can get up into our ears, it's amazing how small a thing can get into your ears and destroy you. One thing that somebody says over you can hang in your world and in your psyche for a lifetime. I mean, I remember one time I was up in Canada and a guy came up to me and he said this, he told me about something that someone said to him that was terribly, it was evil, what they said. And I said, oh, that's terrible. I said, well, he was 80 years old. And I said, when did this happen? He said, when I was 7. And I thought, whoa, 7 years old? We're talking a long time ago, you know. But it's the power of words. There's life and death is in the power of the tongue, you know. And so anyway, these shepherds would anoint sheep, would anoint them with oil in order to protect their ears and preserve their life. And over the centuries, the anointing of oil became synonymous with a blessing of security, prosperity, protection, and peace. When the Holy Spirit came, in fact, Jesus recognizes in Acts 10:38, the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, in power to do good and heal all who were oppressed of the enemy. So Jesus became anointed by the Holy Spirit. So now we understand now that anointing is synonymous, that pouring of the oil on the sheep's head, and we are sheep, by the way. Turn to the person next to you and say, bah, just tell them that. We are sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture. Jesus said in John, my sheep will know my voice. So your ears have to be attentive. 7 times in the book of Revelation, it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Our hearing is so important. And throughout your life, it is so important that you're able to hear. But there's this power of the Holy Spirit to protect you, because for you to navigate your life going before you and understanding what's behind you, you need the oil of the Holy Spirit. You need to come to church for corporate anointing. I get that that's not the only way that you get it, but there's something about the presence of the Holy Spirit that is so powerful. Even Jesus said, which I mentioned yesterday, even Jesus said, it's better that I go that he may come. Now, if Jesus was here right now, and Jesus said, it's better that I go that someone else might come, you'd go, that just can't be true. I mean, we've got Jesus here, you know. But Jesus was embodied. He was the God-man that came down. So Jesus is speaking to a greater reference that the Holy Spirit would come, and Jesus said that that it would be like out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. In other words, the anointing of the Holy Spirit would bring something upon someone that they would produce life. They would produce rivers of living water. It says in the Old Testament, there's the river that makes glad the people of God. The Bible says about Jesus in Hebrews that he was anointed with the oil of gladness. In other words, did you know that seriously, Christians were not meant to be baptized in prune juice? There's meant to be a joy upon us. There's meant to be an oil, a flow, a river of God out of us that actually brings life everywhere we go. I mean, everywhere, everything that you touch. I mean, when the anointing, that's why I'm into anointing right now. I'm just like, I'm putting oil on everything, man. In fact, people tell me, what should I do? I go, anoint it with oil. I mean, that's my new solution to everything. Anoint it with oil. My niece down in Louisiana is trying to sell her house. She bought another house, and through supernatural means, it was weird. I had a dream about a year ago, a supernatural dream about my father, about my niece, who I hadn't talked to in a while, and a house, and we were in my father's house, a homestead, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I text her this dream. I called her with this dream and said, this is the Lord. She goes, Uncle Steve. She said, you won't believe this, but last night we made an offer on my father, her grandfather's former house, the homestead. I said, what? She said, yeah. And she said, we don't know if it's been accepted or not, you know, and I was somewhere, I don't know where it was, maybe it was here, but we prayed together and she got that home. Anyway, she gets into that home, but she couldn't sell her old house. She just texted me a few minutes ago when I was sitting there. And she said, Pastor Steve, I went to my husband the other day because this house is not sold like for 9 months now. And she said, I told my husband, I gave him a bottle of oil and I said, anoint the house with oil. And he was kind of, he's hesitant. He said, I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. He said, you already anointed it. She goes, you anoint. I love women that just really know how to tell their husbands what to do, Anoint the house with oil. And so he went and anointed the house with oil. They packed things up. This is after 9 months of it not selling. As they were leaving, the real estate agent called, said, you have an offer on the table. And sure enough, the next morning, it sold. So there's something powerful about this anointing. There's something powerful about when you get in the presence of God, so much so that Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes out of Psalm 61, or Isaiah 61, which is one of my favorite passages, because in Isaiah 61, Jesus quotes and says, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me with the Holy Spirit power. You remember that verse? And Jesus just quotes a short portion of it because Jesus is on the move. I mean, things have been happening. He's been 30 years as a carpenter, and all of a sudden there's movement going on in the spirit realm for him to emerge in his ultimate destiny. And so you know what happens? He gets baptized in water. He comes out with, the Holy Spirit comes upon him like a dove, which is the anointing moment. By the way, the Holy Spirit intends to come upon you multiple times throughout your life. He will anoint you. It's like you need a little more oil. You do oil change on your car. Well, we need a topping up of the oil. He pours out more oil. Oh, you're getting ready to go in through a situation that I need to anoint you with oil. He anoints me with oil, my cup runneth over. I mean, when the anointing comes, boom. When the anointing comes, everything blows up. I mean, it expands. I mean, you doing something is pretty good. But God doing something through you is unmatched by anything that you could ever do. So your cup will run over. The Lord desires for you to actually prosper in this life. And I've been very clear the past 2 days, it's not just about finances, although I believe that's involved. In fact, it's really amazing. When you read in Scripture, and I'm going to get back to Isaiah 61 in just a minute, but when you read in Scripture, I mean, there's this amazing verse. In fact, we're going to turn to it just so everyone knows that we opened our Bibles today. Open your Bible if you could. And turn with me to let's go to, where did I have this? Let's go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. I was conflicted this morning on what to speak on, and I wanted to talk about prosperity, but I also want to talk about the Holy Spirit and anointing. And so I decided to talk about anointing of the Holy Spirit to prosper. Okay, so that's what we're blending together here. We're going to Genesis, or what did I say it was? It was 26. Genesis 26. Sorry, this is not my Bible. I'm navigating new territory here. Genesis 26, let's look at verse 1. I know you know this verse. It's a very popular verse among charismatics. So we'll read this one. Verse 1 says this. This is about Isaac. Now remember, Isaac is a son of Abraham. How many of you know that we're all sons and daughters of Abraham? We used to sing that song back in the 80s, remember? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that worship has matured more beyond that? Well, I sing these songs today, and I'm like, it's just so far from Father Abraham, you know? We had some amazing choruses in the late 70s and early 80s, and I will not mention them because they're a little embarrassing. But anyway, Isaac, which name means laughter. He's the promised son. Did you know every one of you is an Isaac? You are a promised son of Abraham. Isaac means laughter. You are marked with joy. Jesus was marked with the oil, the anointing of gladness. There was above his brothers, it says in Hebrews. So there was an anointing that stood out. There was an anointing of gladness. There was an anointing of joy. Why? And you know that joy is that thing I mentioned the other night about shalom. I mean, shalom means just like everything's good. It's just good. I mean, it's one of those words that has such power. It's like, what about your finances? Good. And what about your relationships? Good. And what about your job? It's good. What is it? Shalom. Shalom. It's this peace of God, the Holy Spirit upon you that is so powerful. Here's the deal. With the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I wish I could do like 4 or 5 days on this because it's so powerful that when the anointing of the Holy, if you would give yourselves to the things of the Holy Spirit, the anointing would be upon you and you will lift. You, because your ears will be protected, you're going to hear very clearly what God's doing and everything's going to start lifting. Even if you do not have knowledge of it. I'm amazed the things that God gives me, I have no knowledge of. He just kind of gives them to me. I said, well, Lord, shoot, I don't know anything about that. What do you do now? It's the knowledge of heaven. It's revelation. It's understanding. Why? Because you have ears to hear. Why? Because you're anointed and your ears are protected. And the little lice cannot get into your ears. So the little lies cannot get into your ears. The little lies cannot get into your ears. And so you are covered, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. So Isaac, I mean, here he is. He's an anointed guy because he's a son of Abraham, you know. And it says here, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. In other words, they're letting you know, like, this family's been marked by famine. Do you know that's the exterior, the national crisis, the national challenge that they were facing, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? But these guys are marked by God because of Abraham's faith and because of the touch of God on their lives, that in famine, they believe for blessing. You know, in some sense, you know, I'm an American. Lived in Canada 10 years. I know what it's like to live in a socialist government. I'm in America. I love America. I love most things about America. I mean, there's things I'm really challenged about. But, you know, when I come back home from traveling overseas, I mean, I just about kiss the ground. I'm so, of all the nations in the world, I love America. I enjoy so many other places. I love going to Italy. Their food is unbelievable. You know, I love Europe. There's so many places I just love culture throughout the world. But when I come back home, it's good to be home, you know. And I love America. So, Having said that, in one sense, it doesn't matter what happens in America. Because, and I say that with all due respect, I love America. I'm trying to give my best Love America speech right now. But what I know is, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a child of Abraham. The anointing of God is upon my life. And in a sense, it does not matter what the economy does because I'm being governed by the oil that's on my head. I've got an ability to hear about, I've got insider knowledge from the throne room of God about stuff. Some of it I can't even tell you now because I don't know it. But when I need it, it comes because there's anointing. Isaac is living in a famine and grew up in a famine that his father experienced during his generation. It'd be like living in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, you know, where it was just, in, for most respects, in the 19th century, 20th century, it was one bad news after another, man. It was just boom, boom, boom. It was difficulty, and it shaped my parents, those that it would be in their 80s and 90s now, who grew up during the Great Depression. It shaped how they thought. It shaped, you know, it created a mentality, some which was good and some which was not good. By the way, every generation gets dealt the good and the bad, you know. But because of famine, because of depression, because of difficulty, because of war, world war, we're talking serious world war. If you go back even a little further to my grandparents who would be now 100, they were raised during the First World War, went into a bit of reprieve during the 20s, were hit by the Great Depression, 10 years of Great Depression, coming out of it, moving into another great war that was seeded during World War I. I mean, that was a 30-year period of just great difficulty. But believers in Jesus Christ are able to have a different perspective. If that came back to America again, I want to encourage you ahead of time, you are citizens of heaven. Thank the Lord for the United States, but you are citizens of heaven. So here's what happens to Isaac. You go on down. By the way, there's someone here named Moon. Like there's something Moon is in your name. Anyone here like that? Anybody? Is that right? Like they live here in the city? You're going to talk to them? Okay. It came to me this morning. I got this moon pie. And it says celebrating 100 years. There's something of a celebration coming into their life. And I think this moon pie is like a prophetic thing that you give them and you can tell them what I said. But there's you can tell them that there's no reason to fear, for joy is coming. The celebration is coming, and it's going to be over the moon. It's shooting over the moon. That there's an opportunity opening up to them in 2018. That's going to be a big deal, and the Lord says that they are. This is a man or a woman.
Woman.
Yeah, that she is. His moon pie. I mean, there's something about this that it's delight that God's bringing to her. So here, you want to catch this? There you go. Let me know what happens with it. Anyway, what was I talking about again? I saw that moon pie and it got me off track. It was, oh yeah, back to scripture here. Okay, go back to, so we're in Isaiah now. We're looking at, look at verse 12. Now think famine, think difficulty. Verse 12, here we go. Verse 12 of 26. Okay. My mind's in another place. Okay. Verse 12. Okay, here we go. So now Isaac sowed in the land. Now he's sowing during time of famine. You understand why famines happen, right? Famines mean that there's no crops, right? So there's no possibility of income or fruitfulness during a famine. I mean, for whatever reason, whether it's ground or pestilence or whatever it might be, there's a famine in the land. It doesn't seem to bother him. He buys Bitcoin anyway. It says he sows in the land and reaps in the same year. It definitely sounds like Bitcoin. Sows and reaps in the same year 100-fold. Everyone else is having famine. But this guy, because he's the son of Abraham, the power of God's upon him. And the Lord blessed him. You know, it's like the Lord doubles down, as if 100-fold is not a blessing. I mean, if I said I'm gonna increase your income 100-fold, you'd go, whoo-hoo-hoo. And then I'd say, and the Lord's gonna bless you. You'd be like, well, isn't that a blessing? I mean, in the Lord's mind, he says, I'm increasing 100-fold. And I'm going to bless you. It's that shalom thing coming down where it's like, you know, this is more, it's he anointed me, my cup runneth over. Do you know the intention of heaven is for your cup to run over? It's the intention. It's quiet in here, Matt. I don't know what's going on, but the intention of heaven is for you to have abundance in your life. Now, I understand that's not every minute of every day of your whole life, but it's the intention of heaven. But when we get in these mentalities, sometimes even poverty mentalities, like, you know, woe is me, and does God really care, and all these things. This is in the midst of the famine. He sows, and it says, a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And this is the verse I really like. Now, this bothers a lot of people. And this is a great test to see if you've got anything in your heart that is of an orphan or poverty mentality. And by the way, I do. I mean, this hits me every time I read it. I feel kind of funny inside. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's a disturbing verse. But it says this, in verse 13, it says, and the man became rich. So this is the result of him sowing during famine, hundredfold response. He's blessed. And then the writer of Genesis, which is Moses, he commentates on it and says, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very rich. Let me just read that again in case you missed it. It says, and the man became rich and continued to, now see, I know when I share this, when I share this verse, even in the past few months, I've been spending a lot of time on this verse and other verses like this. So was this get rich quick scheme? Are you trying to say that like everyone's gonna be rich? You gotta remember there's the poor and everything. I get that. I'm just telling you that the power of the Holy Spirit through his gospel is meant to lift everybody wherever they are. And it's when you lean into it and you believe, when you have substance and evidence to believe in it, you lean into it and say, you know what? I'm just gonna believe that that's for me. Wherever I am, to the degree and the ratio that God's going to do this, I believe that he's got lift for me where I work. That changes your whole mentality when you go to work. Let me just read that verse again, because I feel like I'm going a little deeper here at verse 12, 13. It says, and the man became rich. By the way, what does that really mean in the Hebrew? He accumulated wealth. That's what rich means. He became rich, continued to grow richer. He accumulated more wealth than what he already had until he became very wealthy. In other words, he became so wealthy, for he had possessions of flocks and herds, and that's the currency of the time, and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now think about that a minute. Philistines are bad dudes. They don't like the Jews. They don't like Abraham. Abraham has emerged as like the Bill Gates of his time. And he's this shepherd. He's just minding his own business, following after God. He left his home, left his family, obeyed God. Let me tell you, the greatest key to prosperity in your life is the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's following the move of the Holy Spirit. It's doing what, and here's the key. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. So it's all about Jesus. It all ends up with Jesus. Where are you going? We're going to Jesus. I taught on this yesterday. It's all about Jesus. Everything in your life is about Jesus. Someone told me about a dream they had earlier because a bunch of people had dreams over the weekend. And, you know, once again, I just realized it's all about Jesus. It's all about, whatever it is, the interpretation is Jesus. It's all moving us toward Jesus. And when you move toward Jesus, everything in your life gets lifted up. Now, let me just shift a little bit here right now because I'm running out of time. But I want to now shift over a little bit and talk about the places that you work. The places that you work. Because I feel, and I know Lance Wonow, many of others have talked about this seven mountains of influence and everything. I think it's very powerful. I personally believe there's like thousands of mountains of influence. In fact, when you go to Italy, which I have a couple times, you go over to Italy, you see that they've already conquered all the mountains in Italy like 1,000 years ago. Every mountain has a church on top of it, you know. They've gone to the top of the mountain. They've conquered the mountains, you know. Wherever you are, you've got a mountain you face. You've got a business you face. You've got financial debt or whatever it is. God wants to anoint you to cause effect and change within that. Back to Isaiah 61 just for a minute. When Jesus was anointed, he said he was anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to set captives free, to release those that were bound. You remember that? That's all, it's out of Isaiah 61, but it's quoted in Luke 4. And then he stops and he says, and to declare the favorable year of the Lord. He stops short of the day of judgment. In other words, this is the Jesus walk is about going around and by the anointing, because he said it was anointed by the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 10:38, he's anointed by the Holy Spirit to do good and to heal all who were oppressed of the enemy. So is this like, you mean being a do-gooder is a Jesus thing? It is. And all the right things. You do good. You open doors for people. You favor people. You pick up the tab. You tip well. This is what Jesus would do. In fact, I was reading about Jesus the other day. It's my job. And Ed Silvosa, his great book, Anointed for Business, is so powerful. If you're a business person, you'll want to read that book. It's probably about 10 years old, 15 years old, something like that. Anointed for Business. He talks about Jesus. Let me just tell you real quick what he says. He said, it's in page 40 of his book. He says, Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus' tradition was to be a rabbi. Jewish tradition to be a rabbi was that you had to have a master trade. Isn't that interesting? To be a spiritual trainer and teacher in the Jewish culture, you had to have a master trade. Again, in our circles against Protestantism, we have this dichotomy where we've separated kind of spirituality from what we do every day at work. Of course, we know that's not kingdom. That's not Jesus. You are a carrier of the ark of the covenant of God. Everywhere you go, the presence and the fragrance of Jesus Christ is meant to go to the workplace, go to Starbucks, wherever you go to Walmart. You carry the presence of God like Todd White is going to teach you if you go to that seminar. So to become a rabbi, though, you basically had to be like 30. You had to have a master trade. You had to be honest. Jesus knew all this. Had to support yourself in order to teach for free. So Jesus, what he was doing was building up a business so that when he got 30 years old, he could go on the road, do what the Father had called him to do, and be self-supported. Isn't that interesting? So he supports himself. By the time of baptism, he had worked as an artisan for 20 years. Likely, he focused on doors, beams, yokes, tables. Which is interesting because his parables all come out of the workplace. Isn't that something? I mean, my yoke is easy. I'd just like to have a yoke made by Jesus. You know, he taught, I am the door. I mean, when Jesus says that, he's created possibly hundreds of doors in his lifetime. He has built doors for these homes. Those are the things that were wood in ancient homes. He was a master craftsman. 30 years respected. He was known as the son of the carpenter and later on as the carpenter. He becomes the designer of our lives. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go away to prepare that. He's a builder. He's a builder. He fashioned the world. He's a businessman, big time. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit was upon him in Isaiah 61 to not only go and set people free, but when you read through Isaiah 61, you read through the whole chapter, you see that this drop of anointing of the Holy Spirit on the Lamb of God, the sheep's head, that he would be a pure hearer of the voice of God the Father from heaven. He walks a life that becomes a template for every one of us. That if we walk this life, you will set people free. You will heal the oppressed. You will do good. You will do the things that Jesus did in your lifetime. But it goes deeper than that. It says later on in Isaiah 61, you will be called the planting of the Lord. Amen. I mean, you're going to be established. You're going to be by the stream. Now you're just anointing. You've got constant flow of the Holy Spirit, and you will bear fruit in and out of season as somebody who's the planting of the Lord, planted by the tree of life, as it says, of course, in Genesis with the Garden of Eden and Psalm 1 regarding the planting of the Lord. And in Revelation 22, it's funny, the planting of the Lord in the garden of God is in the beginning in Genesis 1 and 2. It's in the middle in Psalm 1, and it's at the end in Revelation 22. It's like the Lord's trying to tell us something. This is the beginning, this is the middle, and this is the end. You will work and you will produce greatly. I mean, so many amazing stories about this, and I'm gonna touch a few. Do we end at 11:30, typically? So I have 3 minutes left? Okay, good. Just wanted to know how much time I had. So I'm skipping down here. It's good. Okay, so in Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, I've actually preached here out of Luke 5. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, particularly because I've got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. But there's a boat, and Jesus has been teaching the multitudes. They're crowding in, so Jesus steps into the boat. I know this is probably, you've probably known this for years, but somehow, you know, the goldfish head that I have, I saw this in a new revelation for the first time, that Jesus was stepping into somebody's business. I know that's a bad euphemism for our current culture, but literally he's stepping into Peter's boat, right? So Jesus wants to get into your business. When he gets into your business, stuff happens. Peter doesn't realize it. Peter doesn't understand that this is what's going to happen. But when you invite the anointing that is upon Jesus into your business, whatever you're doing, even especially a job you do not like, the anointing of God has the ability to lift and change everything there. Let's just go over it really quick because I know I'm about a buck 40 right now. So I gotta move. But he gets into trouble, and Peter's business was having trouble. They were not catching fish. In fact, they washed their nets because they were done. They fished all night and caught nothing. So business is bad. It's a famine in the land on the day of this situation. But when Jesus steps into the boat, everything changes in the environment. When you step into the boat, you go to work tomorrow. If you work on Monday, now everything's all messed up. People work all over and they work from home. They work on the internet. But whenever you go to work, you step into that realm. You can step into that realm carrying the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you, and everything is going to change, and ideas are going to come to you, and transformation is going to take place without you even really trying hard. Why? Because it's passive active. It's inside of you. It's inside of you. I mean, just be a good recipient of the power of the Holy Spirit and let it pour out. Let your cup runneth over. Be good to people. Love on people. Treat people well. You will excel no matter where you are. I mean, I've seen this happen over and over again. The people that really do this step in and say, I am here on a mission of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring the anointing of God into this place without saying that. We're not going around saying, man, I'm going to transform this environment because I'm a son of God. You're going to get fired. And then you're going to blame me. I thought you said that if I went to work, then it would be great, power of God and everything else. Here's what happened. Jesus steps into Peter's boat. It's in trouble. He steps into it. He gets into Peter's boat. Jesus, as he gets into our job, he touches the multitudes from it. In other words, business becomes your launching pad. Your job becomes a launching pad. He speaks and touches. He speaks. It gives him a platform to speak from. Jesus speaks to Peter and says, launch out into the deep, because he's taking you into a place of risk in order to increase your profit. So the Lord has you in a place. Please do not go into a job and just say, I'm very happy with what I'm doing. I'm just going to stay doing what I'm doing, whatever that is. But that's what I'm doing. And I'm very happy with it. No, always lean toward expansion. You are called to fill, subdue, and rule. You are called to tend and keep. I mean, believe that God wants to prosper you. Believe that God wants to expand your situation. So when he says, launch out in the deep, Peter's like, hey, I've been out there. There's nothing out there. But he says, launch out in the deep. So the Lord's going to cause you to launch out in the deep. Maybe you're going to get offered a management position or something like that. You go, I don't know anything about management. Take it. And get up every morning, anoint yourself with oil like they did in the first century. Do the little cross on your forehead. If you need a ritual, that's a good one. Do a little cross on your forehead and say, Lord, anoint me today to go in and hear your voice in the midst. Lord, I'm going to come up with innovative ideas. I'm going to help the boss. I'm going to make this business successful because I'm in it. And either I will stay in this business and prosper, or the Lord will, because I'm faithful in this business, he'll pluck me out of this and put me in a place where I will prosper. So he speaks to Peter to launch out for greater profit. Peter doesn't believe Jesus is in the business. Peter knows that this is a carpenter. What's he know about fishing, really? And so he goes out there. So you can even have doubts with Jesus on the job, but it's okay. He's not bothered by it. Peter humors Jesus. He throws in the net, you know, a clean net. He's going to have to clean it again. And so you respond anyway. You respond to what the Lord speaks to you when you get in there, knowing that, you know, it may be a crazy idea or whatever. And overwhelming prosperity comes in that literally threatens the business. They get so much prosperity because of Jesus. They're sinking. The nets are breaking. The boats are sinking. They literally have to call the other businesses, the other boats that are there, to bring them over so that they can give them some of their business. How do you like that kind of a blessing? That's a blessing from the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon an individual. As God gets into your boat, as Jesus gets into your boat, others will prosper other also. In other words, your prosperity will pour over, the cup runneth over into others. Peter is overwhelmed. He falls and confesses his sin. This is like a little unintended consequence. It's a byproduct of the anointing. That when you see, we always think we got to get our lives together so God can bless us. No, just follow the Holy Spirit. Do what he's told you to do. He's gonna deal with your life along the way. He's gonna, you know, how the goodness of God leads to repentance, that God can actually move in your life in business in such a way that you're provoked, knowing that it wasn't you that brought this about, it was the Holy Spirit, and it literally causes you to confess your sins. You say, I'm a sinner. How can I possibly, you know, it's overwhelming, the goodness of God. So others are prospering. You're feeling overwhelmed. Partners are astonished. Coworkers get touched and they believe. Everyone's excited about it. Jesus says, fear not. You will now catch men. In other words, he takes what you're doing in the natural and he makes it a spiritual application. Your faithfulness in a business is very important for your spiritual destiny. Your faithfulness at work, even with, you know, you don't like your boss, you're upset at him, whatever, I don't know. But if you'll be faithful in the midst of that, God will bring you into another place. What happened? They forsook all and they followed Jesus. Now, there's so many spiritual people I could talk about, but because I'm 3 minutes over, I've got to summarize it. The Wright brothers, let's talk about them because they're on your license plate. Wilbur and Orville, may I remind you, we're from Ohio. Just want to say that. But anyway, they needed some good hot air, so they came down to North Carolina. They brought the mechanism down here, and you had the move of the Spirit. Let's make it spiritual here. The pneuma that they needed to get the thing up. So they were believers. And they had this vision from early on. So they created something that transformed the 20th century. Believers on their job, they owned a bicycle shop. Go figure. Riding around bicycles, they thought, let's fly. But it had been in Wilbur's heart since he was 12 years old. His father brought him a little twirly thing from a world fair, brought it home. His dad, who was a pastor, and he would spin it up in the air and it would spin down like a helicopter, and he saw it and he took it to school. He showed his teacher and said, someday my brother and I are going to fly. Like, oh, you're so cute. People don't fly. You know, of course they did. They flew about two decades later, you know. So these are spiritual men who are touched by God. Need I mention Harriet Beecher Stowe, which is an amazing story where it says in pew 23 in Brunswick, Maine, after she had lived in Cincinnati, she's the daughter of a famous, like Billy Graham type family, known all across the country, evangelists. And she had been to a slave market in Kentucky. She'd seen the atrocities with slaves that had been in her mind, but she left Ohio, went up to Maine, which was safely far away from the whole issue of slavery and racism. And she gets up there and she's in a church just sitting one day and she takes communion in pew 23, which is such a prophetic symbol. And the Holy Spirit came upon her and she had a vision of Uncle Tom being abused as a slave by his masters. So graphic was it that she began to write it down. She wrote little stories. Today we'd call them blogs, little stories. She put it together in a play and it traveled around for a while. And it was and you all know the story because I brought it up here before. When Abraham Lincoln met her later on, he said to her, so you're the little lady that started the Great War. That her writings of this by a revelation of the Holy Spirit in pew 23 in Brunswick, Maine, transformed and ended, I understand that it's not totally ended worldwide, but in the way that it had been, it was the final domino or the first domino that started a cascading event to end slavery, particularly against Africans worldwide. That was one spiritual woman sitting in church And a revelation came to us, the power of the anointing. And the final one is George Washington Carver, who I write about in my book that I wrote, Voices, who would hold the peanut or sweet potato, whatever, a slave and a son of a slave in Missouri, whose master moved to Georgia. And we went there too, but his master was kind, taught him how to read and things like that. Brilliant young man, George Washington Carver, of course named after George Washington. And in that place, as he was studying in his laboratory, he called it God's laboratory, and he would hold the sweet potato and he'd say, Lord, show me. He'd walk in the woods up to 2 hours prior to his workday and commune with the Lord. Just the presence of God. And then he'd go into work and say, Lord, show me the secret of the sweet potato. And God would show him over 100 applications for the sweet potato. He's the one that brought in crop rotation in the South in order to prevent the dust bowls that happened and the famines that were hitting the South. He had it in his heart to bring change, massive change, to agricultural work. And finally, his big one was the peanut. He brought the peanut in his hand. Lord, show me the secrets of the peanut. Actually, he'd asked the Lord. He said, show me the secrets of the universe. That's what he asked the Lord. And the Lord said, oh, George, your mind is too small for the secrets of the universe. How about if I show you the secrets of a peanut? And so in the peanut, he came up with, I think, 317 uses of the peanut. Actually, a Washington congressional delegation came to him. He cooked them a 7-course meal, all made out of variations of peanuts. Like, he was a brilliant man in the spirit of God. Let's all stand together. God is wanting to transform your world. I mean, the transformation was so powerful and it was so understood in the New Testament that my workplace is a deployment place for the power of the Holy Spirit. That Paul would take his work cloths, his sweatbands, around his neck, around his head, and he would use them to heal the sick. Now think about that. The sweat from his brow on these cloths, they would come and be sick, and he would give them the cloth, and they would be instantly healed. It shows the power of what God wants to do with what you do every day. If you say, oh, Jesus, this is not just work. It's not just my job, but Lord, this is a place that you have me. And I ask, Lord, for your anointing in a very powerful way in Jesus' name. So here's what we're gonna do. What I was gonna do, but because of time, I'm not gonna do it. I was gonna anoint everyone with oil. I think I did it last time I was here too, but I feel impressed that you need to touch your forehead if everyone could. Now, we're gonna do two things. We're gonna touch our forehead, we're gonna touch our ears, and then we're gonna go eat chicken, all right? So you're gonna touch your forehead. And let me just pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for the anointing of the Lord to come upon these heads. Lord, it's your spirit. It's the spirit of God. I ask, Lord, for the dripping power of the spirit of God. The anointing of God, my cup runneth over. Anyone here struggling financially, I pray for overflow. I pray, Lord, in a year of famine that they will do well and do weller until they're well-est. I pray, Lord God, that you will bless them above and beyond what they can have, above and beyond their intellect, above and beyond their circumstance, above and beyond their history and where they're born. I ask at this point of contact, right now in their forehead, I speak over their mind that they have the mind of Christ. We speak powerful ideas and understanding to advance them in the workplace in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now touch your ears. We speak over these ears. We bless them. Lord, the oil, the anointing of God, which is your Holy Spirit coming upon us. I ask, Lord God, right now for an anointing upon these ears to hear the word of the Lord. I pray that they will be continuous correctional navigators where they are at work, that they will see and understand and perceive things that nobody else understands. They will be like Joseph. They will be like Daniel. They'll be like Nehemiah. They'll be like Esther. I mean, and all the others that are in the Old Testament, there were secondary individuals that were used powerfully by the word of the Lord, even for corrupt governments. Lord, we believe right now for ears to hear. Let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let them hear what the Spirit is saying into their lives right now. We ask for clarity from that anointing to open their ears up. And when they go to work tomorrow or whenever it is this week, I pray, Lord, that they're gonna see things, hear things, and feel things differently than what they did before. And I ask, Lord, for a rise Can I say this? A rise of prosperity in this church. We ask for incomes to increase. We ask for ideas to come that are going to accelerate promotion. I ask, Lord God, for a powerful anointing for our children and our grandchildren, that the Philistines will envy the powerful anointing upon our lives. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. And now Matt's going to come up, but let's just clap our hands in thanksgiving to the Lord for what he's doing.
Thank you, Steve. Man, you can see why he's one of my favorite people. And he's a champion of other people too. I wish we could talk about, and he didn't have a chance to share all the things that they're doing in the Cleveland area, things that they've started and begun, as well as three different churches, but they're really impacting the city, impacting so many lives and ours. Steve has been a friend of mine for quite a while, and you wouldn't know this, but he has had these key words and things that we've needed as a church, as the leaders here, that we've needed to hear through tough times that we've had and some good ones. He's had just great navigation, and I'm just so appreciative of him and his life, his wife Cindy, and everything. So thank you, Steve. But I want to give you an opportunity to sow into him, to give generously toward him. There's never any pressure in any time that we ask or give opportunity to give, but there's an invitation. That's how God is with us. And I want to give you an invitation right now. If we could just take a few moments, if you want to grab your phone or your wallet or your checkbook or whatever, and we want to give right now. Take 2 minutes here and just give to Steve. You could, if you want to make out a check, you could just make it out to Awake Church. All of this offering will go to him. If you want to give using the church app, before you hit send or give, you can. There's a little toggle drop down. Make sure you just hit guest honorarium on that, so we'll be able to differentiate from the previous offering. And we want to go ahead and do that. You can also give by debit card or credit card with the envelopes that are in the seat pockets in front of you. You can do the same thing there. So if we can go ahead and just ask the Lord, Lord, how much do I get to give to Steve to bless him and send him away with a blessing? All right, let's go ahead and do that. We can pass the buckets. And I'd like to do one more thing while you guys are doing that and giving. And thank you for your generosity. You always are. We get to bless the people that come through here and are giving into us. I love blessing them as they go. The last thing I want to do while we're doing this is I saw someone that I don't get to see too often here, and it's Wendy Dixon, or sitting right over here. Wendy, can you stand up for a second? So, okay, stay standing. Yeah, let's clap for her, and I want to tell you who she is, because some of you don't know who she is. So Wendy started working for me a long time ago. What year was that, Wendy? She doesn't even remember. That's how long ago it was. And we worked together for 10 years, and she helped with the planting of this church. She led the kids' ministry. In fact, when we were in a school right up the road for 8 years, the kids' ministry was packed into her car every week, all week long, and then on Sunday she would unload it into the gymnasium that we did set up and tear down, and then she put it all back together. She was the accountant. She was the administrator. She was the children's ministry coordinator. She has sown a lot into this church, and she's royalty here. And we really honor you, Wendy, and thank you for your life and all that you've given all these years. It's great to see you here today with her husband, Tim, but we love you, Wendy. All right. Did we already pass them through? Almost done. Okay, why don't we stand up? You guys ready to go anyway? Get your stuff. Don't forget your kids. We have ministry teams that will be right up here in the front. If anybody would like to receive any prayer, if you need a word of encouragement, they can help you with that. If you'd like to know Jesus, maybe you haven't known or met him and there's something stirring on the inside, you're trying to figure out, what is this? That is Jesus knocking on your door. He wants to fill you, as Steve was talking about, anoint you, use you, take away all sin, bless your life, and know you personally, walk with you, live inside of you. And so we've got folks up here who would love to pray with you and help you. If you need prayer, if you need healing in your body, they'll pray for you as well. We want you to be healthy and whole in every way. Lord, we just say thank you for this day. Thank you for this weekend, this great weekend we've had together. Thank you for what you have invested in us. Thank you for clarity that has come. Thank you for the anointing that has come. Thank you, Lord, for new tools and keys and mindsets as we go from here. Lord, I ask for victory this week for every single person. I ask for that increase in all of our lives, every single life. We entrust to you, God, all that we are. And we thank you, God, that you are doing things in us that we can't see by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You have a great week.